From the Power Business Technology Toshiba Studios, KHTK AM Sacramento, KYMX HD2 Sacramento, the only station in Sacramento giving you local sports coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Sactown Sports.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone. When he's not on the microphone, he's playing a song. And when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone. And then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's go. As always, the pre-interview is over. She is ready to go. And no secret, we've known Katie a long time.
Yes.
And like anyone who travels full time, there's, you know, places you, I won't name any of those, places you don't want to go. Mm. You know, certain stops.
Sure.
And then there's places you love to go to. And I know Katie is a huge fan of this road trip. Joining us right now, the analyst for the Sacramento Kings, the talented, the intelligent, the temperamental, the recovering from a foot injury.
Yes.
One only makes her own dog food, not for her, but for her dogs. Katie Christensen, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, my goodness.
I threw like 9 jokes in there, and 2 of them were very hidden. Did you get every one?
Oh, my gosh. You're just lame. As long as you find you funny, I guess that's okay.
Come on. There's some good ones in there. My favorite ones are the ones that are jokes, but then they have another layer to them that I know you get.
Oh, well, congratulations, Dave. I'll pat you on the back.
Thank you. The problem is that more often than not, they fly right over her head. And then I get mad because she didn't get them.
Because I don't really listen to you.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is the truest thing ever said. Katie, if the Kings lose tonight, will it be the worst loss of the year?
Oh, gosh. Sure, Dave. Does that answer your question?
Would it be a worse loss than Detroit at home? In your opinion.
Wow. Why do we start this off this way?
Because Toronto is missing. They've lost 7 in a row, and they're missing half their team. And the Kings
7
are
7 in a row, 9 of their last 10.
Yes.
But they went to Denver, and they were up 20 against the Nuggets. In Denver. So the dangerous thing about teams that are missing a lot of guys, as we well know, is that the guys that are available are playing incredibly free. I love how people determine, like, you know, you look at the record and so on and so forth, and it's like, oh, yep, that's a win in the win column. Like, you have to go out and play every single game, and it would be an incredibly disappointing loss. Yeah, it would. But I don't know if it's, you know, worst losses of the season yet while we're still in the middle of it.
We call it a Willody, worst loss of the year.
Would it be the best win of the year, though, Dave, if they won?
No.
Oh.
No, just it would be a win, a very workmanlike, easy, not easy, but a routine road win over a bad team by a serious team, and not unserious team, a serious team looking to make a postseason run. That's what tonight's win would be. They're favored by 11.5.
Yeah, if you're wanting to you know, be where your goal is, which is postseason, and preferably to have to not have to do it via the play-in, this is a must-win game tonight. But you know, this is a rough road trip. Like, they have to really, you know, buckle down and take it seriously. You're playing at 7:30 tonight in Toronto, and then you play tomorrow night in Washington D.C., which I don't know if anyone wants to do the math in terms of how late you're going to be getting into Washington, D.C. Traveling to Canada is no joke. Like, we left at 10 a.m. yesterday, and I think we got to the hotel about 7 p.m. last night.
Wow.
And so, you know, when you think about, like, tonight we go through customs like everybody else. We go through the main airport. You take all your bags. You do the whole thing. And you're doing that at what time? 11 o'clock at night? Like, this is an interesting back-to-back that the league scheduled. So, you know, when you look at schedule, you have to look at all of the components other than just the other teams, you know, win-loss record, who they've got, all these things. Like, this is a challenging road trip, and they have to take it incredibly seriously.
The other night, Katie, the worst part about the game ended up being in the first 2 minutes. The injury to Kevin Hurt, or just it didn't look good when it happened. Maybe the news, I don't know, maybe the news is slightly better. I don't even know how to quantify it because I don't know that we know for certain what the overall outcome and how long he would be out. But I don't know what you know about that part. And just secondly, just him going through that as a former player yourself, that is just the worst part when you get hurt at any point. But certainly this late in the season, it's got to be really rough for Herter.
Yeah, incredibly rough. And I don't know any of the details yet in terms of length and what's going on and all of that. Like, that's just something you kind of got to, you know, hope for the best and we'll see. You want him to be healthy. I think the hardest thing as a player is that he hadn't played incredibly well in the game before against New York. And so, you know, if you're going to go down, you would prefer to have it be while you're playing well versus when you're trying to kind of, you know, garner up some or, you know, muster up some kind of momentum. But injuries are tough, and the Kings have, you know, over the last 2 years, for the most part, been really, really healthy. And, you know, the injury to Trey and now the injury to Kevin Herter, like, it put the Kings in a position where they have to be able to rely on kind of some of those, you know, second unit guys that, you know, haven't had consistent minutes throughout the season. But I have to take my hat off to Mike Brown, because I talked about it on the broadcast the other day. Like, a lot of coaches in this league, like, in the beginning of the season, they'll kind of give some, you know, kind of second, third string guys some different opportunities. And if they don't take advantage or don't play kind of the way that the coaching staff wants them to play, you don't see them again. They're kind of bottom of the bench guys that, you know, you see a couple minutes in blowout games, right? But Mike Brown has been really, really good about, with Davion Mitchell, Keon Ellis, Chris Duarte, like those guys, like he's been great with going back to them and not, you know, waiting long stretches of time, going back to them, giving them another opportunity. They play, you know, maybe 10 games where they're playing really well. So it kind of keeps them, A, motivated to be involved, keeps their confidence up, and they've grown. And those guys specifically, those three, I think this kind of segment of the season, kind of post All-Star break, I think they've been fantastic. And so that bodes well when you look at some injuries that are going on. And, you know, with kind of two of the, you know, bigger guys, if you will, Kevin Herter is someone that can kind of float 2-3, and sometimes in small lineups he'll put him at power forward, but not really. And then you've got Trey Lyles, who he can play 3-4-5 basically based on kind of small or big lineup you're going for. And so to have those guys be the ones that are out, like, I'm curious now to see what it's going to look like rotation wise and how Mike Brown is going to handle it. But I think that, you know, Davion, Keon, Chris, those guys have stepped up, and I think that they have a lot of faith in them.
Katie Christensen joining us. I just want to go back to your previous answer just to kind of clarify some stuff we're seeing on the chat, and I get it. When you say this is a difficult road trip, you're talking schematically. Like, on paper, this is an incredibly easy road trip, with the exception of
travel.
Yeah, like, yeah. They should,
which
buy
all those things factor into it, right?
Right.
All of those things factor into it. It isn't just about, like, oh, we go to the gym and we play a game and this is their record and this is who's available. No, there's a lot of other things that factor into kind of difficulty level. And when you look at the Kings, strength of schedule from the very beginning of the season, third most difficult schedule in the NBA. And the reason that is you look at road trips like this, you look at distance traveled to play an opponent, you look at how many days the opponent has had off, like all of those things factor into strength of schedule. And the Kings have the third most difficult schedule in the NBA. And you look at this road trip, and then you look at the road trip that they have in April. They're going to go and they're going to play in New York, then go to Boston, yeah, and come back to New York. Then they're going to go to OKC. Like, those
sucks.
Are tough opponents, back-to-backs, like those types of 3 and 4 days against top-level, you know, opponents. Like, those things factor into strength of schedule. So that's what I'm referring to.
Katie, as far as, you know, we just referred to Herter and being out, we don't know how long, but that does mean opportunities for others, whether it's deeper in the rotation, guys, if that's Davion or Duarte, but certainly Keon Ellis. What have you liked most about watching him play consistently now with this group?
I just love his defense. Like, I love his defense, and the fact that he actually gives De'Aaron an opportunity to not have to be kind of on the toughest perimeter opponent to start the game. He allows De'Aaron to kind of take a step and defend somebody else. And obviously there's a lot of switching and stuff, but to be the primary defender to start off on kind of, you know, the main guy, like the Jalen Brunsons of the world, if you will. And he, you know, he picks them up. He's a dogged defender and he's going to give it to them, you know, a consistent approach and be tough on them the entire time. But then he also, from an offensive standpoint, I feel like he's gained a lot of confidence. And I think a lot of that is the way this offense works is, you know, everyone's going to get opportunities. And no matter what, they want you to take shots. If you're open, you take the shot. Like sometimes when you're coming in as kind of like a second, third string guy, when there's injuries, like you almost hesitate because, yeah, it's an open shot, but am I supposed to take it? Do they want me to take it? But that's not how this offense works. And so I think that there's a lot of things that have kind of built up his confidence. But the thing I like about him the most, he had 5 blocks the other night. I mean, come on. Like, he is a really, really, really good defender.
Katie Christensen joining us. Talking about Toronto, we haven't talked to you since a couple of pretty good games, I guess I'd say. The Grizzlies game, which was good despite the fact that it shouldn't have been. And the Knicks game on Saturday. Let's go back to the Knicks game. Playoff atmosphere. There's blood in the air. It was physical as heck. I had made the comment to Jason. We talked about this, that that referee crew, there are a lot of different ref crews that would have called that game completely differently, and we probably would have had a different result. That crew decided that night to let a lot of things go in that case. You and I haven't talked about it yet, but what was your thought on the ref Saturday?
Well, you did get a very angry phone call from me.
See,
about
that was my joke, Katie. Is
and clear.
Let me stop you. I won't say, I'm not going to say what was in the conversation.
Because no, I'll talk about it.
Okay, because she calls me right after the game's over. I didn't even think she was done yet. Mm-hmm. I get a phone call seconds after the game's over, and it was one of those calls where I immediately went outside because I put it on speaker so I can hear better, and I held the phone like 5 feet away from my ear, and I wanted to make sure my kids weren't listening to Aunt Katie talking to me about the game.
Yeah, no, I'll start this off by saying I have complete and utter respect for officials because they have, you know, a very difficult job. And I don't think poorly of any of them as human beings or individuals or anything like that.
Here
but just comes. Like anybody else in any other career, everyone can have a bad day. And that was the worst officiated game I've ever been a part of in my entire nearly 2 decades in the NBA. It was complete and utter dog crap. It was awful. And they let it get out of control. They had, you know, they did not manage the game well. You know, Domantas Sabonis got slapped in the face twice on a triple team in one possession, and they call him for a double dribble. Like, Kyle was talking about the last 2-minute report in that game, following it against Memphis, and I didn't even bother looking at it. It was just awful. It infuriated me to a level where I thought it was just ridiculous. And to call a game like that is really difficult because you never want to pile on two officials. You don't want to do that. And there is, you know, a certain component of it where normally those games even out. They look at things, they review things at halftime, and they're like, oh, we're missing some stuff. We're going to do it. Like the first play of the game, if memory serves correctly, was Hartenstein pulling Domantas Sabonis to the ground from the waist. It was completely obvious. And Doug Christie, Mike Brown, Domas, I saw multiple times those three guys talk to the officials, showing them what they were doing to Domas in the low block, and it was like complete and utter denial of that taking place. Like, they didn't fix it, they didn't make it better, they didn't make adjustments. And the way that they let the game get out of control, the physicality of that game, that's how players get hurt. And
well, were you surprised there wasn't a fight that night, or at least a fracas?
You know,
if
Trey Lyles were available.
Right.
That game,
that's what we said.
Like, we don't really have guys on the team that are like that. Like, at one point, Domas was so frustrated. It was after that getting smacked in the face twice and then being called for the double dribble. Like, it was end of the game situation. He kind of just threw his hands up in the air and shook his head. Like, we don't have personality, and that's not a bad thing. You know, we don't have many personalities on this team that are going to get to it. But, you know, even seeing Malik Monk, when he got fouled, sit on the courtside seats and just take a a breath, like take a beat. He was so angry. You could tell the look on his face. He was so angry with what was going on that he like he had to like kind of self-regulate for a second. And it kind of harkened to, it made me immediately think, and I think I said it to Kyle in the break, of like Malice in the Palace when Ron Artest laid on the scores table. And if anyone's seen the documentary on that, he was talking about like he was seeing a therapist during that time, and he was having a hard time self-regulating. And she was like, hey, whenever you feel yourself about to kind of implode, if you will, lay flat, take a moment, take a breath. And that's when the beer was thrown, and that's when it went into utter chaos. But that moment with Malik sitting on the sideline, it reminded me of that, because I could see the frustration in Malik and him trying to self-regulate and just don't say anything, don't do anything, take a breath, calm yourself down for a split second. That was how out of control that game was. And I think it's a complete and utter failure by the officials to let a game go that way. Win or loss, I don't care. Even if the Kings had come out with the win, it doesn't matter. The way that game was officiated is dangerous, and that's how players get hurt. And from my perspective, that's the worst part about the whole thing, because you don't want to ever, as a player, have your livelihood or your season put in jeopardy because the officials lose complete control of the game.
You know, Katie, as part of that game, one of the takeaways I had was New York obviously was physical. We're talking about that, the way it was officiated, or they let things go. But I thought the Kings handled the physicality, and if that's been a question of them, I was encouraged by that, even though it ended up in a loss. And so I think it was good for them to go through that kind of game.
Yeah, I thought that they handled it well. I thought they matched it. I think they have really over the last 4 or 5 games, if you really look back, trying to remember because it all runs together, with the Milwaukee game, the New York game, like they've done a really good job defensively here. I mean, going into the game against Memphis, the three previous games, they were averaging, you know, holding their opponents under 100 points a game. Like defensively, I think that they have kind of, you know, picked it up in terms of their physicality, their attention to detail. And that's a great thing. And I thought they did a great job in the Memphis game as well in terms of the physicality of it. So there has been some things that have come out of, you know, say this last 4 or 5 game stretch that I think are really, really promising.
When you look at, and this has kind of been a theme all year, when you look at a game like the Knicks, you guys just alluded to, and a game like the Grizzlies, I like a lot of people sit on the surface and go, well, if they play like they did against the Knicks, they're going to beat the Grizz by 25. The Grizz are missing, like, kind of like tonight. The Grizz are missing pretty much their team. And, you know, next thing you know, what was the guy's name? Lawrence Arabia?
Jake LaRavia.
Jake LaRavia is hitting, hitting corners, whoever. You know, like, can you put your – I get the whole, like, everyone gets paid. These are all NBA players. People have opportunities. But, like, ultimately it's talent on talent. Like – if you're saying other players get opportunities and they're going to step up, then isn't the counter to that, well, our guys are getting complacent and not playing to the best of their ability mentally and physically? Because
I think that's easy. That's a, like an easy place to take it.
But is it wrong?
Well, if you'll let me answer, I'll get
you interrupted me last time. We're having a conversation. Jeez.
Well, I mean, I know where your question is going. Oh. So instead of waiting 3 minutes, I was just going to go ahead and answer it for you.
Wow. Canadian cable sucks.
No, I mean, I see where you're going with it. Obviously, that I think that's a component. I'm not going to deny that it's not. But I also want to just from you know, the standpoint of looking on the other side of it, one of the benefits of, you know, players that are playing and stepping up when there are injuries is there's two things. A, they're playing incredibly free, right? Which is what Memphis does, which is 100% what Toronto does, which is why they're dangerous. And they've played in really close games during this, you know, last 10 game stretch of theirs where they've only won one game. But again, it's like they lack experience because there's a lot of injuries. So the thing about it, you play free, but also you don't have a great scout on a lot of these guys. And so much of the scouting in this league is about, you know, understand, like, it's so extensive. Like, hey, in these situations, if he comes off of this screen action, he's going to go left. If he comes off this screen action, he's going to go right, and he's going to pull up to his left. Like, they do an incredible amount of scouting and just a deep dive into, you know, tendencies and things like that. And I have to give credit to the players. Like, they know it. Like, they pay attention. They drill it. They watch specific film on the guys that they're going to be defending. Like, there's the extensive scout to that degree that really helps you prepare for a game. And, you know, to be honest, with a lot of these young guys that are dealing with injuries, you just don't have them. So I think it kind of goes to, there's a lot of things that factor into it. And then, of course, there's the mental standpoint where it's like, oh, whether you're aware of it or not, you're like, oh, this is second, third string guys. Like, it's, you know, not going to be as difficult, not going to be as challenging. And that's where you can kind of set yourself up for failure sometimes.
So how is your health? How's the foot from Kyle stomping on it?
The foot is okay. Kyle was very concerned. He actually checked in with me yesterday to make sure my foot is okay. It is totally fine. Kyle is gets very, very excited, and that's what, you know, makes him Kyle, is that he, in those, like, I might talk with my hands or whatever, Kyle, when he makes a call on a very exciting play, like, he jumps up out of the chair. He's very excitable. And so I just, apparently my foot was collateral damage in that, but it is all good.
Hasn't he broken multiple chairs this year?
I think we're at like two or three. Okay. You know, they've got wheels on them. And so sometimes when you jump up and like the wheel, like he snapped a wheel or two. Yeah.
And, finally, well, two questions. Number one, we're getting comments. Are you at a zoo or a dog park?
No, yeah, I apologize, but I was at Team Film when I had to come on this interview, so I stepped outside. So while we've been on this interview, like, it's on a floor where there's conferences, and now the players are coming out from breakfast and film, and so this is the reality.
No need to apologize. You got to do what you got to do. Yeah. It just sounded like a bunch of dogs, which, by the way, if you want a puppy, let's talk when you come back. The dog sucks.
Is the new puppy... giving you some difficulty.
Dog sucks. We need doggy Prozac. It won't go to sleep. And then the question from the audience, which I think is a good one, Katie, because you do travel so much. Other than like clean socks and undies, the obvious stuff, what's like the one thing you travel with that you can't live without?
Well, I'll tell you what, I forgot my AirPods on this trip, and I'm realizing how critical those are. I've been doing this for so long, like my bags are like, I always keep my toiletries packed. Like when I unpack, when I come home from a trip, I repack the toiletries and I don't know. I mean, probably my AirPods, like it's pretty for plane flights, you know, buses, like all of that. I'm learning that they're pretty important.
They should have like team issue extra AirPods. It's an NBA team worth $3 billion. Let's go.
Oh my God.
You know, a little Kings logo on. Remember when we got the Kings logo to headphones?
Yes, I do.
It's a great moment.
Yeah, you were so excited about those on the plane trip to China.
There were headphones, the Kings logo on it. How
the
are
you wearing now?
How are you? No, these I made. I actually ordered the stickers and put them on myself. No, they were like branded on there. And Katie's like, yeah, they're headphones, Dave. Get over it. Boy, that was a fun 17-hour plane flight.
Yeah, because that was when you had really not been flying for your whole adult life. And then all of a sudden, you got to go on this long trip, and I got to be your seatmate. And it was like everything was so exciting to you. And
it was. They had warm cookies. They had a menu.
You act like you've been here before.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm like the kid with the golden ticket, the Willy Wonka thing. I'm doing somersaults
It really was like traveling to China with a four-year-old. I'm not over exaggerating that.
On that note, Katie Christensen from her favorite stop on any trip, Toronto, Canada, joining us to analyze and then some. Hey, Katie, have a great trip, and we'll see you when you get back.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Don't forget your AirPods. Bye-bye. Love you.
She already did.
She did. Yeah. Also, get off the wallet and buy a pair. I'm pretty sure they have them in Toronto.
Exchange rate.
Oh. Yeah, they're all AirPods. We'll take a break. When we come back, Jason, what to watch in the Western Conference tonight? And Malik Monk speaks on returning to Sacramento. This just came out. We've got the quote for you next. We'll be right back.
best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back. Thanks to what's your face?
That'd be Katie Christensen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good stuff.
And, oh my gosh, you're just lame.
Right? How uncalled for was that?
She had that one in the chamber.
She did. She did. Now we appreciate her each and every Wednesday. Anthony Slater has a new article out in the Athletic about Malik Monk. I highly suggest you read the article. It's a very good, in-depth piece on Malik, the year he's having. Breaks down a lot of stuff, some videos, all kinds of good stuff. Very, you know, I mean, shockingly, a very good, open, honest interview with Malik Monk. Talks about the play this year, talks about golf. But then
the game of golf.
The very end, they get to Malik's future in Sacramento. And when talking about the sixth man, he's expected to win it, and they acknowledge that, but it says Monk admitted it's an award he desires, but don't mistake that for a full-on embrace. We can now finally put to bed a conversation we've had a couple times this year. He doesn't necessarily love the fact that he never starts. Mm. Quote. Sorry, it's just, there's not a lot of ambiguity with Malik Monk. Quote. Hell no. Hell no, I don't like it. But S-word, it's what I got to do for us to win and play better. So I just take the role head on. There you go. Malik Monk wants to start, but he gets it, and that makes me even love him more. Hmm. They go on to his free agency. Two-year deal about to expire. Because it's so low, CBA rules limit the type of raise the Kings can offer him this summer, perhaps opening up the door for a cap space team like the Pistons, Sixers, or Spurs to spike his salary out of the Kings' range if they desire. Kings' front office tried to plan for this. Part of the motivation for the Rashawn Holmes trade this past summer was to increase what they could pay Monk. They want him around long-term, but the projected max starting salary, I believe he's making $9 million this year.
Incredible bargain.
Very much. The projected max starting salary they can give him. Can I just say, too, I think it was a two-year $18 million deal, Monty. That should go up there with, like, drafting Tyrese Halliburton, the trade for Sadio, all this stuff. Like, yeah. We don't, I think, give enough credit for the fact that they arguably have, other than rookie deals, they have maybe the best bargain in the NBA right now. Anyways. The projected max starting salary they could give Malik Monk next season will be $17.4 million. Which would translate into a four-year $77.9 million max offer if extended out with the highest allowable raises. Now, we've talked before about a one-year deal, a two-year with an opt-out to give full bird rights. I can't imagine he would do four. If he does 4 years, 77, let's go.
Sign him, yeah.
Anyways, Monk has made clear, according to Anthony Slater's article, his desire to return. But he's experienced the business side of the league and the unpredictable variables that remain at play. Before any choices are made, he's trying to cap off the season with an individual award and playoff run. When asked whether or not he wanted to stay, he said this. That's not, no, that is not, that is not what he, that is not what he said.
That's not audio, that's Monk.
Not audio, that is not real. When asked whether he'd stay. Quote, depends on what we do in the postseason as well. But I'd love to be here. Got comfortable here. Made a lot of new friends. Met a lot of great people. The city loves me. I love the city. So, yeah, I'd love to come back. So, I'm like super happy and confused. Not confused, but like, as we've talked about before, he knows these numbers.
Yeah.
His agent has told him this. The Kings say, like Mike Brown's quoted in this article, like, we want him back badly. Right. So knowing that, I guess, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, Jason, because I'm a worrywart, but it's like he has the ability to be like, oh, no, I'm coming back. Like, I know what they can offer me, and I'm going to take it. But he's not saying that. And then the whole depends on what we do in the postseason.
Right. That's the one I was thinking of, because that's why I would never say people need to make decisions right after something ends. So let's just, case in point, take it like last year. If the Kings lost a seven-game series and the seventh game home, though he had a very good series, emotionally after that, if right away you're hearing, hey, Team X is going to offer you a starting position and $25 million per year, you're pretty emotionally fragile, right? You're upset. You just lost, even if you like Sacramento. So, yeah, Kings have to be doing their work now and really hoping that what they're building is something that attracts Malik.
Let's mow the lawn. Honestly, we should go. Actually, this isn't a bad idea because we've got connections on this one. Let's guys, we're looking for content. Let's get to work on, I'm going to go down to sales at the end of the show. We should get to work on some of these local golf outfits, some of these courses. We're partners with Timber Creek. Mm-hmm. There's one. And let's get a grab bag of, because there's nothing in the CBA preventing us from bribing Malik Monk, correct?
I don't think so.
Yeah. That we're the flagship.
We're not a team.
We're not a team.
I mean, as far as we're associated through the league.
I think we should get like one of the manila envelopes with a bunch of certificates for free golf for Malik. I understand he doesn't need the, he's got money. I get it. I'm just saying it's the thought that counts.
Yeah. I think we should just get one card made, Monk card, to where that's accepted at every golf course in Sacramento.
That's actually not a bad idea.
It's one of one, and then, and he has it.
And then like list the courses that would be willing to give him free golf.
Yeah.
For he and three of his friends.
Right.
Because you want to play in a foursome.
Yeah.
Or a twosome. Because he plays with Keegan and he plays with Herder. Probably not for a while.
Right. And you know, if you've got that, then you've got the players like, dude, you got to stay.
And you know what? If you're a golf course person out there, and we'll prop that up, man. We'll be like, hey, participate. I'm talking out of my ass now because sales might get mad at me. But we should do that, like, for real. And present him, yes, with the Monk card, one of one. And this gets you into all these golf courses for the duration of your stay in Sacramento. Right. The moment that Kings contract expires, whether it's this summer or 4 years from now, you're gone.
Yeah, card's gone.
Your card's gone. That's what we'd say. Expires when your final contract with Sacramento expires.
And if he retires?
Lifetime.
Lifetime. Yeah. You retire as a Sacramento King, lifetime. Whoa, what if they trade him? Meh, gone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's part of the business.
Part of the business. Okay, we'll work on that. We'll take a break. When we come back, you want to crosstalk?
Yeah, I would like to.
Also, by the
way, fastest growing show.
Kings Raptors tonight, Jazz Thunder, Grizz Warriors, Sixers Suns, and Clippers Blazers. That's your top 10 in action tonight, Western Conference. We'll take a break. When we'll come back, we speak to the fastest growing radio show in Sacramento, Styles and Watkins, and something that they had an idea about. We're all here to help out. We have some progress, perhaps, for them. We'll get to that next, along with ELO tickets. 1-800-920-1140. We'll take the fourth caller right now to go see Jeff Lynn's ELO at Golden One Center October 23rd. All you got to do, again, hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now, looking for caller number 4 to score that pair of tickets to pull up for Jeff Lynn's ELO, Golden One Center, October 23rd. For more info, sacktownsports.com. We're back with Crosstalk next.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines, the biggest stories,
hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Hey! Hey!
Hey!
Good morning. Welcome in. Styles and Watkins, Watkins to Styles, and Styles and Watkins, Watkins to Styles. Fastest growing radio show in the world.
That's yeah!
How you guys doing?
Oh my gosh, you're just lame.
You're lame.
We're great.
Yeah?
We're great.
Do you like our idea we just came up with? We're going to get a Monk card and present it to Malik, and we're going to get golf courses to sign on. And as long as he's a king, he gets free golf.
I like that.
Just present it.
Yeah.
I like
that. Make that happen.
Hey, during the break, Jason,
mm-hmm.
I had a friend call that knows things.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you guys have to do that. He'll love it. I'm in. 100%. Okay. 100% now.
We're in. Okay. Speaking of
Malik Monk. That's right. So, update.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
during the show. So yesterday a caller called in and said, hey, instead of playing the sounder thing, which is cool but weird, after Malik Monk scores, play We Want the Funk.
That's right.
We Want Funk.
Yep.
And you guys loved it and put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Kings Game Ops has now been informed.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah, that's called cross. That's called where we all hands rise together or whatever they say.
Dave just gets
and they said absolutely not.
They're like, no,
that's copyright.
No, and it will be discussed.
Wow,
That's all I got so far.
The bouncing ball thing.
Yeah,
you guys are. That's it.
That's it.
That solves
it. That solves it the whole thing.
It's
It separates the. You hear it's, some doing it, and others like, they're not even doing it.
They don't know. Everybody understands the bouncing ball.
Yeah. Everyone.
I mean, everybody.
Looking glass half empty, like I usually do.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't this feel like it's no longer grassroots type of fandom?
Well, yeah.
No.
I mean, I get what he's saying, but like, it is grassroots. The fans did the. But like, we're just a conduit.
Yes. But the thing is. We are not in the position of fans anymore because we get to go to games very often. If you're just randomly there, why the heck would you know? We took calls yesterday and people had, by the time you catch on, it's the fourth quarter and the game's over.
Right.
You have to take, this could be their only game.
Right.
There's no time to waste.
Yes.
There's no time to waste.
This is where Live and Local is the best because what we're just basically trying to be an avatar for the fans, for the grassroots. Yeah. And they don't have
or a megaphone.
Right. And so we come up with the stuff, and then, hey, we're just trying to help. Maybe they trust me. There's some ideas they've rejected.
Yeah. I look at it from the other fans' point of view, like how if another team was doing them, how would I? I'd be like, it's lame.
Well, yeah.
They need like freaking people to tell them how to sing songs at a game.
That's just, you know what? Because you're a soccer fan.
Yeah.
That's a soccer fan.
That's a soccer thing. Because I'm going to tell you right now, out there in the Bay.
Yeah.
They don't have nothing.
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 They don't have this anywhere.
Nothing.
See, that's exactly what I'm thinking about. Oh, they're singing songs while we're winning championships.
Yeah, exactly. No, and you know what? Those people smell their own farts.
Yeah.
Like, let's just be honest.
You got to make sure you're healthy. You do have to make sure you're
right. You do. Also, more on that. the other thing is, like we talked about before, like I have dreamed for years of sometime, first time out in the fourth quarter, something like that, like having a team style fight song that gets sung, like, you know, like when they do the national anthem and it's just the crowd singing it and it's like, oh my God, like goosebumps. Like one day in my lifetime, I want there to be, it would be just like in soccer where you write the lyrics to the tune of, you know, God Save the Queen or something everybody knows the tune to. And then everyone's singing it coming out of the fourth quarter. We're in the playoffs. And Mike Breen's like, that sound you hear is unique to the city of Sacramento. Da-da-da-da-da. You got like opposing players looking around like, what the hell is going on? And there's 18,000 just belting it out right down on. Like, there's so much untapped potential we have here.
I do feel like you can't do too much.
Oh,
right?
Come on!
Because you got the beam already. Can you do song and beam?
You could do song. You can do beam. You can do Keegan Murray. You can do
No, those are in-game is different. I'm talking about now you have a beam and now you have an official chant.
Well, that's what we call benchmarks. Yeah. We do it in radio.
You need them to finish the show.
It's what gets us through summertime. All right, celebrity birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this. Hey, Chris.
What's up?
Birthdays are meant to be spent with family and friends. Wow. And, you know, nothing brings family and friends together better than crumble cookies. Also, I got to be careful here. Really good to eat during any form of sporting tournament.
Yeah.
There you go. Nice.
Good job.
I read the letter.
By the way, you missed
almost made a joke and said another tournament, and then I'm like, oh, I don't think I could do that
You missed National Laugh Out Loud or Laughing Day yesterday.
Really?
What was up with that? How did you miss that?
Did we miss National LOL Day?
Well,
wasn't Sloppy Joe Day yesterday? Maybe that dominated it. Yeah,
it was a couple days.
Laughing.
You're just still thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm still thinking. It's good for the soul.
All right.
Celebrity birthdays.
Not today yet, right? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Last show at this age.
Okay.
So. Oh, poor.
For today, though, March 20th, happy birthday to Pat.
No.
Please not McAfee.
Wait, hey.
Say, Jack.
Why am I blanking? Who's the guy that would always do, like, the Brent Musburger NBA Finals?
O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien.
I'm Pat O'Brien.
Yes.
Burl.
Pat. Oh, Say Jack's a good one.
Summerall.
Pat. Trick O'Donoghue.
Okay, Pat Riley.
Oh,
I've never heard of him.
Pat Riley is, God, he looks 50, but Pat Riley is 76.
74.
That's a great guess. 78.
Ooh, 79.
We have a correct answer. It goes to Christopher Laud. 79 for Pat Riley. Happy birthday, Spike.
Lee.
Yes, Spike Lee.
Ooh. Spike's, it's big 7-0 today for Spike.
It's definitely close. That's crazy. 69, I'll go. Nice.
67.
65.
We have a correct answer, and it goes to Chris Watkins. Wow. 67. Okay. Happy birthday, Mookie.
Betts.
Blaylock.
Blaylock, yeah.
Wait, Wilson?
Blaylock.
Blaylock. Hmm. Used to be the original name of the band Pearl Jam, by the way.
Oh, that's yeah.
Fun fact for you.
Yeah.
Mookie is 52?
Yeah, that's what exactly what I was going to say.
54.
I'll say 52.
53.
Alan's closest, 57.
Oh, I don't like
and,
that.
And radio legend Mike Francesa.
Hey, we just talked about him earlier.
We did.
He's 71.
Mm. 72.
I think like 75.
He's 73. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
He's 74. 70. I don't remember who said 71, but he's closest.
Hey, Alan. Who gave away a Hannibal Buress ticket yesterday?
We did.
Why is it still here?
Because I do it again.
It every day.
Well, use the same.
Are you the one who crinkled it?
Yes. That was an accident. I thought it was from last
week. That's a good bit.
No, that was an accident. Honest to God, it was. And I even did the whole thing.
Because it's Wednesday on the other side.
Sometimes I get. Sometimes I get given new ones. Sometimes I do
same read every day.
No, I get that. But I have a photographic memory. I thought you get like a new sheet every time.
That's a waste of paper.
All right. Well, Saving Trees and More, the fastest growing radio show in the world. Styles and Watkins coming up next.